Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see everybody this evening. There is a saying that the older the tree, the sweeter the fruit. The older the tree, the maturer, the sweeter the fruit. And that's so right in a Christian's life as well. The verses we've read from Psalm 92 are written for the Sabbath day, where the psalmist, he spent a week in the world, and now he's gone to the house of the Lord for meditation, praise, worship. And he sees around him what the world is like. And he goes to the house of the Lord, and then he sees clearly. There's a story told of somebody who wanted to buy a house, and he went to the agent. Agent said, "I've got a lovely house for you." He took him to the house on top of a hill. He said, "On a Sunday, you can see the cathedral way over there. It's a beautiful chapel. It glistens in the sun." And the man said, "Why only on a Sunday? What about the rest of the days?" Oh, he says, "You can't see it the rest of the days." "Why?" "Oh, because there's so much smoke and smog and fog and pollution. You can't see it. But on a Sunday, everything is clear." And that's a bit like us, isn't it? In the week, we stay in the world, and our vision gets distorted. We don't see clearly. We have to do this, have to do that, go here, go there, do this, do that. But on a Sunday, the psalmist, he found rest. And when we come to God's house, we find rest. Our vision is cleared. The verses that we read, which our brother read earlier on from Psalm 92, these are verses, we'll read them, verse 12. "The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Here the psalmist is saying the righteous man who is planted in the Lord's house grows like a palm tree. And those who know trees, there's so many trees. Some are fruit bearing, some are just not fruit bearing. But the palm tree is so beautiful to look at. Always green. And it produces the beautiful dates. And those who love dates will know that it's come from a tree that has fulfilled its purpose. That's a righteous, that's a evergreen tree. The Lord's promise in this verse is that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. As you know, that in the Middle East, in some of our country cities, the houses which are there, they're like four square all the way around, and they have an empty courtyard. And then in the courtyard, always is a tree of some kind, a small tree, big tree, whichever one, there's a tree. And that tree, it gives shade to the people who live in the house. In the same way, the Lord said that those who are planted in my courtyard, those with trees that are planted in the Lord's courtyard, are the ones that flourish. And this relates very much to us, because A tree has to begin its life somewhere. So the seed is planted somewhere, and then when that little sapling, when that little growth, that little plant occurs, for those who are gardeners, you will know, then the vine dresser, he has to dig it up. In the same way, when a person comes to Christ, when a person comes to know the Lord, and he is saved, then that seed is planted. And those who know of with a personal experience of this, they know that it is not easy. Because when a person comes to the Lord, when he trusts in the Lord, then his conversion, maybe there's trials and tribulations, maybe there's people are opposed to him in the family, in the wherever. It's not easy. In the same way, a person who professes faith, and they're baptized, then they are by new birth planted as little trees in the house of the Lord, meaning the church. We are planted in the church. Now the church is no ordinary assembly, because in the assembly we have our pastor, and we have people who come and share God's word with us from time to time. And because our brother, I'm sure, vets the people who come in before they share, we know that the encouragement, that the word we receive here is a pure, 100% pure word of God. That we know. And what the Lord does, when he takes a sapling, when he takes a small plant, and he plants it in his own courtyard, in his own house, then you know that there is a transition where the plant may be with us for a little while, then it comes back to life again. But God does not plant those trees that are barren or they're dry or there's no life in them. Every plant has got life in it. In the same way, when God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, when they do a work in somebody's life, and that person comes to repentance, that there is life, there is spiritual life in those people, in us. And then what happens when we are planted by new birth, we become sons and daughters of the living God. We are born of the Holy Spirit, and we are planted in God's house for a purpose, for a reason. A tree, it cannot plant itself. Those little seeds that drop from a tree, any tree, and it drops anywhere, those are just random trees. But the tree that is planted by God, by God himself, those are the ones that the Lord, he looks after. And then, because the transformation is painful, when that tree starts taking root, when we start reading the Bible, when we start praying, when we start having fellowship, when we start praying one for another, when we start caring and loving one for another, that is a root that takes downward trend, that goes down. And any church where the gospel is not preached in its fullest entirety, and that church only plays lip service or only gives a gratification to the ear, you will find that the assembly people there, their roots are not firmly in the ground, because they run after this and that and here and there their roots are not firmly grounded. That's why it's very important to know where our roots are. The spiritual food that we receive, what sort of spiritual food are we receiving? If I may ask you one question, please. Just remember the time when you gave your life to the Lord. How long has it been? How many years? Just think. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55. How many years has it been since you gave your life to the Lord and the Lord has had mercy on you? From that time to now, how deep are your roots in the Word? How deep are you? Are your roots such that like a mighty oak tree, that no matter what happens, nothing can shake the tree? Or are you a tree that bends and waves in the storm of life? Something happens and you just shed your fruit and you think, what am I going to do? Or maybe if you are such that you are uprooted from the roots. How deep is your root? How deep is it? And how deep should it be? According to a spiritual scale. And I'm sure that we will find that we are found wanting. If the Lord were to weigh us in his scales and see how deep is your roots and how deep they should be and where you are, I'm sure, certainly, most certainly me, will be found wanting, more than wanting. Because you know something? We get carried away by every toss of the wave, so to speak. But a tree that is planted rightly, and then it flourishes, then it takes up the moisture from the earth, and what happens? It starts to bring forth life. Because the trees that are planted according to God's word, what does it say in verse 12? They flourish. Flourishing means a palm tree will bear so much fruit, it's unbelievable. And as like many other trees as well. I don't know if you know this, but in the Asian continent, in Andaman Islands, which is nearby India, there are plantations there. And somebody said to me, you see those trees are, how can I explain? They are not very massive, they're like so. And they're so high, so tall, you have to look at that, so tall. And those are, I don't know what the word is in English, but in our language it's called supari. Supari means, you know, in India, you know these people who chew betel leaves, who have paan, betel leaves. They put that supari in that paan. And those trees bear the fruit of the supari. And those trees, it takes 150 years for the crop to be ready. So for 150 years they wait. And then they cultivate. In the same way, the Lord's people, when they are planted in God's courtyard, in God's house, they flourish in the courtyards. Not only do they flourish, but they give feed to one another as well. Which is important for us. Coming to church, we have to be there for one another. We are all trees in God's courtyard. And our sole purpose is to praise him, is to worship him. But in life, you see, that as we grow in Christian life, and we can all relate to this, we go through many trials and tribulations. some more, some less. And those trials and tribulations are sent to us to graft us, to form us that the way we, the Lord wants us to be. But the Lord promises us that He will keep us in every weather, in every storm. Whatever life may bring us, the Lord will keep us. And we know, when we hear the testimony of people, we know that God has had His hand upon His children, does have His hand upon people, His saints, and they go through the many trials and tribulations, and at the end of the day, when they come through it, their life is a testimony and it gives glory to God. God, He does not plant His trees in any old soil. He gives the best. And what better spiritual soil is there than the soil that has been saturated by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? When the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He prayed, and sweat was flowing from His brow like blood, of tears of blood, that's the soil in which a Christian is sowed in. Those who come to the Lord, they come into that. And because the soil is the best that they can ever be, that's why the fruit which is there, that will be the best fruit. And that fruit for a Christian is glory, when we go to glory. That's why it's important when we come to church, when we see some brother or sister who may be struggling, for example, they may have gone a little bit cold, or they may be struggling with certain things, ailments. When we see somebody struggling, we have to know that just like a mother nurtures her child, in the same way the Lord nurtures us as well. And if we see somebody struggling, it is our God-given duty as a Christian to support them, to help them. Because, as they say, today is them, tomorrow it might be me. I know what it feels like sometimes when you go through spiritual depression, when you feel down, when you feel you don't feel like doing anything. I know what it feels like. But you know something? I have found in my lifetime, and if I may be so personal and to share one thing with you all, I came to the Lord in 1974. Long time. 1974. And from 1974 until 2023, how many years is that? Anybody knows, mathematicians? 48. Sorry? 48. Well. 49. Any more? It's a December. December, you want to buy me a card? Come on, anybody? I'm not that old, am I? 40. Only the Lord could put up with me for 49 years. Because I don't know how many times I've let Him down. I don't know how many times I've been disheartened. I don't know how many times I've felt like I can't go any further. But even today, the Lord is putting up with me. He's supporting me. And you know something? That is the mark of a Christian, whereby the Lord, He maintains and He sustains them. But then, there are people where, when they think about the time that they've been walking with the Lord, or the Lord's been gracious to them, and then they start having these thoughts about going here, going there, doing this, doing that. They think the grass is greener on the other side, other churches. It's not so. It's not so. Because to uproot a sapling and to put it into the house of the Lord, and then to uproot it from there again, that means that having known the word of God and going back from it, then there is only one way for them. The Bible says that it is better for them not to have believed than to believe and to go back. Because, you know, we all know the truth. It is the truth that has set us free. It is the truth that keeps us going. And God, He's a jealous God. Because those whom the Lord saves, He keeps as well. And He keeps them to the very end. But the trees in God's court, as we are, the Lord wants fruit from us as well. The Lord wants us to bear fruit. As you know the story of the tree that doesn't bear fruit, what does the vine dresser say? Cut it down and throw it away. But the tree that bears fruit is the one that gives glory to God. And what is our fruit that we should bear? What is our fruit? Our fruit is to give testimony to people outside, to tell people of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they can only come to the Lord if we testify to them. We have to continue to flourish as well. We have to give the gospel out to people. We have to tell them that is a tree that flourishes in the house of the Lord, that gives. But then when we see a tree that is mature and the tree grows to maturity, and when it's with old age, the word of God says in verse 14, they will stay and yield fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and very green. Those believers who walked with the Lord and they've lived a lifetime in the faith, you talk to some of those old people, those old brothers and sisters, you talk to them, and you will find those are the old trees that bear the sweetest fruit. Those pastors who have spent a lifetime in serving the Lord, those who have gone to glory, those who are serving the Lord. If you hear some of the stories that they would have to say, they would have to tell you, and they have done exactly what the Lord has told them to do. From their youth to their manhood to the years of when they're getting old, they have heard the word of God and they have brought forth fruit according to the word of God. We have been privileged in this assembly to have had many of God's servants. Some have gone to glory. And we remember them. We remember them, what they used to say to us, the pastors from before. And their brothers and sisters used to come and share the gospel here from time to time. We remember those people. We remember the beautiful words that used to come out of their mouths when they used to share the gospel, when they used to preach to us and have fellowship with us. Quite rightly, many have gone to glory. And but there is one thing that they have left behind. When we hear their words ringing in our ears, or maybe if we've made notes in our Bibles when they used to preach to us and we've written things down, or the privilege that myself and Brother Tirathava has had of translating for these mighty men of God and receiving a benefit from those brothers and sisters, it just goes to show that the Lord God, He sustains His people. It says in the Word, if you could just look with me to one verse, please, Psalm 38. And verse 25. This is a promise for God's servants, those faithful servants who have served the Lord without any cause for their conself or without any greed, without anything for themselves. What does the word say? And this is purely for those servants who have served the Lord, not in their own might, but in the might of the Lord. It says, Psalm 38 and verse 25, I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. God looks after his people. He looks after his saints. God's servants, when they are old age, when they get to old age, the Lord looks after them, because they have faithfully spent a lifetime, or the Christian lifetime, serving the Lord. And yes, they have gone through trials and tribulations. We've heard of many, many saints who have lived in virtual poverty, but yet they've been faithful in what they do. We can name quite a few people. But you know, the Lord never shortchanges his people. When the Lord shows his faithfulness to his servants, there is a word in Latin, which I had to find out this afternoon. And if something is true and something is 100% solid, in Latin they put after that these letters QED. Q for Quebec, E for elephant, D for Delta, QED. And I was intrigued by that. What does QED mean? QED means that God has said, even to the hairs of your heads, I am he. I have made and I will bear and I will carry you as in the days of the old. And then he says, QED means that is the end of the proposition. That is what the Lord has said. That is what he will do. And our saints, servants of the Lord here, they have carried on with that promise. They have carried on in that faith. That just as we have in our feeble bodies given ourselves to the Lord's service, however we have been, the Lord is faithful. The Lord says, until I come and close your eyes, I will guide you, I will lead you, and I will look after you. I will fulfill all your needs. Such a mighty God we have, that the Lord, he knows our every need. Blessed are those who are planted in the courtyard of God's house, and they flourish because they are the ones, they are God's possession, they are God's chosen people, they are God's own. And the Lord says to us, the Lord says to his servants, that I will not forsake you. I will look after you. He will be our friend. He will be our guide. He will be our helper. And he will be the one who will come and lay his fingers upon our eyelids to close them when he wants to take us to glory. But until then, the Lord says, serve me. King David, he says that the Lord, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Every one of us can say amen to this. There is no unrighteousness in him. We let God down, but he never lets us down, because we have been planted, our roots are firmly planted in the soil, which is of the Holy Spirit. There is no unrighteousness in him. With the Lord, as he has sworn, as he has said, so the Lord will do. We are blessed above all people. If you look at this world, people have many religions, people have many ideologies and thoughts, but they're all futile. There is only one grave that is empty, and that is the grave of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he is the one who says to us that you are planted in my house. Verse 15, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The Lord is our rock, upon whom we stand, and there is no unrighteousness at all in him. We are privileged to be known as Christians and to, Revelation it says that I would rather be a doorkeeper at the house of the Lord than to dwell with the wicked. It's a privilege for us to be known as his. It's a privilege for us to be known as God's children. And my prayer for each and every one of us this evening is that we would be such trees planted in God's house, in his courtyard, that gives fruit from season to season. It is the Lord who saved us. What were we, or who were we, what were we, that the Lord would even look upon us? The Lord saved us. The Lord, he took us from where we were, and he planted us in his vineyard, in his courtyard. He takes us through the days of our life until the day comes when he closes our eyes, and then we go to glory. So from A to Z, it is all the Lord's doing, nothing of our doing. And my prayer is that we would be trees giving fruit and giving glory to God, and to encourage one another. So when we do feel down, when we do feel spiritually disheartened, we would lift each other up and say, you know something? Don't worry, the Lord is coming soon. May the Lord bless you.